Hey, it's Mike Matthews, the host of the longest-running self-produced daily podcast on planet Earth by a guy named Mike in the land of Maritopka here at Cafe Anyway, the last place on Earth somewhere in Podcaster Valley. It is Mike's daily podcast, episode 3095, and internet's still out where I am. I feel like I'm living definitely here at the last place on Earth, but more on that in a moment. Hey, stir frying. We talk a little bit about food on today's podcast. It is fast. It's easy. Every day we get to make an entire meal on the table. It's also one of the best ways to make vegetable-centric dishes. If you need more vegetable in your life, maybe a little too much meat in your life, you need to ease off on it. And to help you use up those single carrots and that lone piece of celery and other vegetables sitting in your fridge. You don't want that celery to last too long because it'll just turn into this sock. It's like a green sock, just wilty and just falling apart in your fridge. Despite the ease of which stir fries come together, it is a method of cooking that's daunting to many, says Mark Bittman. He is the editor-in-chief of The Bittman Project and co-host of the podcast Food with Mark Bittman, a podcast that I don't think I directly compete with, so I'm not feeling threatened in any way. I love how people... You know what? This is the thing with guys. Mostly guys. I've seen some women with this, but mostly I've seen guys. Guys get threatened so easily, and you can tell because they will say the most ridiculous things. It's usually when they say something so completely annoying and out of character, and they get offended, or they get overly sensitive about something, or they're just criticizing someone to such an extreme, like I'm criticizing them. But that is when we find out that in fact there is something going on behind the scenes somewhere in the brain area that is not being completely revealed, and they take ombrage. But despite the ease with which stir fries come together, is a method of cooking that's daunting to many. But that doesn't have to be the case, because stir frying is not that different from simple sauteing. You just have to keep things moving and don't feel threatened. In general, stir frying is more about technique than recipe. All the parts are interchangeable. The thing you're using as the meat, I'm not going to call it protein. I hate that freaking term. It's so protein. I can't think of a, when I look at a, it's just not, yes, you call a vegetable, but I don't like the, and then there's vegetables and seasonings you throw into the stir fry. So once you get the hang of it, you can improvise more freely than with other types of cooking. Put your pan on the stove over high heat. Add some fat. Oil will work for the frying. At least 1 to 2 tablespoons, though. Some people go less and it doesn't work as well. Let it get hot, but not smoking. You don't like the... You shouldn't have that. It's not good. Don't do the smoke. Don't have it smoking the oil. Add your food, cut it up into bite-sized pieces, and then stir. Substitute at will. If your recipe calls for chicken, feel free to use any meat, fish, or meat substitute you want to use. It's almost the same with vegetables, as long as you recognize that some harder vegetables like potatoes or turnips must be shredded before stir-frying. Or maybe you want to nuke them in the microwave a little bit. I do that sometimes. So just that they will finish cooking with the other veggies. But if it calls for chicken, you can use fish, meat substitute, anything in that particular ballpark. But don't expect to stir fry the way you see chefs do it in restaurants or on TV with roaring fires that finish the cooking in a minute. Some adjustments must be made for the relative lack of power generated by home stoves. High heat is one, but it's also important to remember that the smaller you cut up your ingredients, the more quickly they'll cook. The smaller they are, the faster they cook. You can use a good recipe to kickstart or continue your stir-frying career, but once you start stir-frying on a regular basis, I'm just imagining somebody taking a whole potato and throwing it in the stir fry pan and going, cook, cook you. Hey, no, you're going to have to take that big baked potato, chop it up into little cubes, or nuke it for a little bit and then put it in the stir fry. But make sure you chop it up a little bit. That's the whole concept. Isn't that so easy and wonderful and fun? Don't you want to make a stir fry right now? Let's see, once you start stir frying on a regular basis, you won't want recipes after a while. You'll look in your fridge and your dish will come together in your mind. And then on your plate. Oh, that's great. I love that. I'm not a recipe follower. I cannot stand that. I don't like it when I'm looking at the recipe that I want to make and I see that I'm missing an ingredient. Although nowadays, with the internet, which I don't have, you can just go on there and say, what is a substitute for fill in the blank? And then it will tell you. It's wonderful. It's generally pretty close. And then you don't have to hop in your car, drive down to the store, and pick it up and come back. Yes, first world problems, but whatever. In stir frying, a wok harkens back to the techniques that were rooted in China and the wood fires that were most common, but fuel was always precious. And the technique of stir frying, in which food is cut into small pieces, was probably first designed to save fuel. A wok is optional. Once you get used to it, though, you'll be using it for all kinds of things. I made chili in a wok. I do that quite regularly. I make mashed potatoes in a wok. Makes it so easy. You just chop up the potatoes. You don't even have to nuke them ahead of time. Put water in it, let it boil. And then you can basically boil away the water so that there's just a little bit left. So that now you're not even having to dump out any water. So you get all the nutrients that are coming out of the potato. And then you can just start mashing it. I've tried this. It's worked. Just make sure the wok is cooling down while it's going to be hot is what I'm saying. So be careful. And then you just add whatever you add to mashed potatoes. Maybe you add a little milk or whatever, butter. I don't use any milk. I'm always into almond or oat milk these days. And I'm not using butter. I'm using different types of oils. So it's delicious. I made some recently. It was so fantastic. Maybe I'll make some for you here at Cafe Anyway. In most instances, a cast iron or solid nonstick skillet works just as well at home if you do not have a wok. Thank you for that fascinating information, Bittman. And thank you for listening to the beginning of this podcast. But now we got to go into Cafe Anyway. Somebody's making something. It smells so good. Let's go. Maybe it is a stir fry. I'll get the door for you. Cafe Anyway.
Cafe Anyway. Mike's Daily Podcast.
What's so funny? It's Mike's Daily Podcast, FFF, episode 3095, 3095, here at Cafe Anyway, somewhere in Podcaster Valley.
Mike's Daily Podcast.
The last place on earth in the land of Ameritopica, where AT&T is messing up my life, making it horrible for me. Ever since Saturday, they have decided to block out my internet and makes me want to scream and shout. They have some kind of problem that happened with their fiber.
Mike's Daily Podcast.
Not the kind of fiber that you should be eating, like through that muffin, the bran muffin. No, it's the
Mike's
fiber that transports
Daily
all this fabulous
podcast
data and digital stuff like this.
Yeah.
Podcast in particular, possibly. It's just been crazy and we can't get any answers. And they basically, in so many words on their outage map, said that it was just a moderate problem, just a moderate one. Never mind the fact there was only 170 people affected, so that's why it was moderate. Those are still 170 people. Now it's been kicked up to 200 people. And I couldn't get any information. I had to get information from Facebook. There was a nice guy there, Kenny, that I found. Kenny's a cool guy. Oh my gosh, they killed Kenny. No, they didn't, hopefully. Kenny, somewhere also in Podcaster Valley, also experiencing problems. And oh my gosh, they're not giving us any answers. Maybe they'll credit us a little bit. Comes out to about $3 a day. But it's just, oh. And I need it for work. So my lovely lady friend needs it for work as well. So she's been walking a lot to the local Podcaster Valley Library and doing her job there. I have been, because she needs the internet, so she does it from her computer there. I have to go to work, which I've been going into work anyway, but there's some stuff I've been able to do from home, which I can't anymore.
And here's today's podcast picture.
My point is, I know, it's first world problems, but it's annoying first world problems, and we pay good money for these. And her big name. Now I'm finding out from everybody that AT&T sucks. Like, this is something I should have known. Well, I know Comcast isn't any better. So I don't know. In the local area, there's something called Sonic. I talked to somebody in Florida today, uses something called Frontier. I guess there are choices. There are other options. But the late, great Basil the Boxer is actually in the podcast picture with Keegan, who is a retriever that he knew, and we were on a walk with Keegan and his owner, and well, it's a cool picture because they're looking at these sheep. The hillsides this time of year in Podcaster Valley are covered with sheep because they eat all the fuel that could possibly cause a fire, all this dried grass, and they eat it, and then out of them comes fertilizer for the soil, and that's great, which I guess grows more of the grass that will turn brown in the months of April and May and June. And then, well, and anyway, they're fire abatement, and they keep the fires from happening here because Lord knows we don't need any more fires in California. So they are doing a fine job, and I thank the sheep and the goats that are eating and relieving themselves on the hillsides of Podcaster Valley. And there's the late, great Basil the Boxer and Keegan looking at these sheep going, hey, look at
this
that.
This is interesting.
Wow, this is interesting.
Isn't that interesting? So here's something to remember. Safety first. Getting ingredients and equipment ready in advance for when you're cooking is very important. And it will help you stay safe. Accidents are less likely to happen if you don't have to take your eyes off the stove to frantically chop up an ingredient you forgot about, says Jen Madera. She is a Costco member and professional chef. Oh, wait, I may have gotten this from the Costco connection. Did I mention that? And some lady suing Costco.
Oh, Mike. You're such a creative soul.
Oh, thank you. Right. No, I just observed that the lady that got, like, some big old cabinet or something fell on top of her, supposedly. And so she, I guess you're supposed to say allegedly, not supposedly. But, yeah, so she's suing Costco. But here's a great tip. Let's see. If you have a recipe that you're following, make sure you read over it ahead of time. You want to know exactly what you're doing from the beginning to end. Read over all your ingredients. Make sure you have everything. Any cutting boards or knives you're going to need, just have them pulled out and ready. It's called mise en place. It's Mike trying to do French.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you.
I will.
Merci beaucoup. It makes a world of difference. It makes you so much more comfortable and confident in your dish. Wondering what instruments a home cook needs in the kitchen? This Costco member and professional chef says, and she's worked at several restaurants and lounges in Las Vegas before launching a full-service catering business. Oh, there are so many restaurants and lounges in Las Vegas. I guess, you know, you don't want to be outside roasting, so you go inside and eat something that's been roasted. That's how that works. You always want to work with sharp knives. It's a dull knife that will cause cuts. I've heard
right?
that.
Right?
I heard that from Alton Brown. He said that. He was really big into telling us, mansplaining constantly. That show should be called The Mansplaining Show. Alton Brown. But yeah, it's a very informative guy. It doesn't have to be a super expensive knife. Just make sure it's well maintained. Keep it sharp. Not sure how to sharpen your knife? If you've ever felt like cutting, let's see, what's it say? Oh, how do you can't cut through a piece of paper with your knife? That means it's not sharp enough. The blade smashes a tomato or catches on the skin rather than slicing.
Anyway.
Cleanly through as we go outside a cafe anyway, where we bring in Mike's Daily Podcast somewhere in Podcastro Valley, the last place on earth in the land of Maritopica. The blade feels dull and rounded to the touch. Be careful when testing this to avoid cutting yourself. Dull knives can still cause cuts, and the knife slips off an onion instead of slicing cleanly through the skin and layers of the onion. So I guess if you feel that, you need to sharpen your knife. If you've ever felt like your cutting board tries to run away from you while you slice and dice your ingredients,
it's pretty interesting.
Well, you should always put something wet or damp underneath your cutting board. So when you're starting to work or cut, your cutting board is not sliding around. Use something damp like a paper towel or a kitchen towel. They go hand in hand. A sharp knife and a secure cutting board are my two top safety tips, they say. Things can heat up quickly and splatter when you're frying food. Use tongs and a large lid to put some distance between yourself and the hot oil. Use tongs to drop in whatever you're frying.
Chowder.
Like chowder? I don't know if you want to fry chowder. Don't want to use your hands. Another tip is to use a pot lid as a shield to protect from splatters. This cook also advises measuring the amount of oil used for frying so it doesn't boil over. Fires in the kitchen can happen to amateurs and professionals alike. It's all in how you handle them. For grease fires, baking soda is what they recommend here in Costco Connection. Just have it handy in case a grease fire comes up. Frying cabbage, for example. This chef says, I was frying some cabbage.
And the Oscar goes to...
The frying cabbage guy. And the mixture from the cabbage hit the grease fire and popped up. They just knocked it out with a sprinkle of baking soda. And also keep a fire extinguisher nearby. It's always a good idea for non-grease related fires. It's important to use heat to prevent foodborne illnesses when cooking. This cook says you want to make sure that you heat your food to the proper temperature. You can always go to foodsafety.gov for the appropriate temperature of which you are supposed to reach. With chicken, you want to cook it to an internal temperature of 165 degrees Fahrenheit to make sure all the bacteria...
Revenge is a dish best served cold.
You don't want the bacteria taking revenge on you. Or the salmonella. And tired of crying when you cut onions? You can soak your onions in a little ice water to keep them nice and crisp. That way you'll get a better, sharper cut on them. And then you have less of a chance of crying or having it irritate your eyes. This does not affect the flavor of the onion, but you should peel them first. They only need to soak for 3 to 4 minutes. Wow, that's fantastic. Ah, look who's outside a cafe anyway, somewhere in Podcaster Valley, the last place on earth in the land of Maritopica.
Hello, Mega Master, it's Madame Rudebeck, and I heard all about your internet problems. Ooh!
Yeah. So when I get done doing this particular podcast,
all right.
I have to take it via memory stick to a computer that I know works at a different location. Someone lets me borrow their computer, and I upload it to the internet for all to listen to. Do you like to listen to this podcast?
Yes.
Do you like onions?
Yes.
Do you like cutting onions?
No.
Yeah, makes people cry. Really upsets people in that way because it makes them cry. They get upset. Look who else is here.
Hello, Dave Mike. This is Valentino.
And this is Bison Bentley. Do you know that?
Mike, some people criticize the way we sound when we talk on this podcast here. Day.
Yeah.
Mike, you want to join in on this conversation? You can join in.
I'm not Mike. Do you know that? That's right. They wanted Bison Bentley. or me to join in on the conversation. But okay. Well, that's fascinating. Well, what do you think about all that? Here's the number to call.
Mike at the Cafe Anyway hotline. Area code 510-228-4640.
Will you shut ups? Liberty Nation Freedom Foam for All. Live and loco.
I know we get a little live and loco on this show, and we only have you to thank for that and for the enjoyment of what you bring. Next show, it will be the wonderful who? It'll be the wonderful Shelley Shuhart, Floyd the Floor Man, and John Deere the Engineer. And with all things having to do with Mike's Daily Podcast, we go to the mainframe and hear from A-Frame. Thank you so much for listening.
Mike's Daily Podcast is written and produced and performed by Mike Matthews. His podcast is super easy to find. Download or listen to his show and read his blog at mikesdailypodcast.com.
Email Mike now at mikesdailypodcast@gmail.com.
See you tomorrow. Bye.